This is Hazel Khan welcoming you to Tidings, where my guest is Nora Kramer. I've known Nora since she was 9 years old, and I've been following her path ever since with personal and professional admiration. We've had many long conversations this summer, and here we are talking about professionalizing activism.
What I understand from your work and why I find it particularly interesting is that, in fact, to become an activist is like a becoming trained in anything. It's almost like a job. You need to be trained to do it well. It doesn't just happen and with a bit of luck. And that's what I have gathered from all the conversations we've been having. This is the third time I'm interviewing you. The first time was in 2008 as an animal rights activist. Then I interviewed you again last year because in the meantime you had really put into action these youth camps, youth empowerment action, YAY camps. And so now you've got a lot more of that work under your belt. So you're really becoming an expert on how to train youth to activism, if that's the right way of putting it. If you could just talk about really what you've been doing in the last year.
Sure. So this was our fifth summer of Youth Empowered Action YAY Camp that we just finished up. YAY Camp is a youth leadership or youth activism overnight summer camp. We have week-long sessions in Northern California, Oregon. Yeah, all of our food at YAY Camp is vegan, and that's something that we feel is really consistent with the values that we have for the camp, that we're working to build a world that's based on peace and sustainability and compassion and respect for others, that serving meat or the standard American diet is just might very well undo a lot of the good that we're doing that week. And this year, for our first time in Massachusetts, this is our fifth year, our camp is designed for young people who want to make a difference in some way. And it's really action-oriented. So the whole camp is gearing up towards, on the final full day of camp, each camper creating an action plan of how they want to make a difference on an issue of their choice when they go home. Mostly what we have the campers do is we ask them to choose one issue of importance, we call it their IOI. And we have them also choose how they want to make a difference on that issue. And throughout the week, they're exposed to a whole bunch of different ideas for what they could do, and exposed to a whole bunch of different issues as well, mostly from each other. We do very little teaching about different issues. We ask them to what we call share about what they care about. So they learn from each other about different issues, and they learn about different interconnections of different issues. Some of the issues that are most popular are animal issues, environmental issues, bullying, gay rights, different human rights issues. So we always have several campers who are concerned about poverty in other parts of the world and women's rights.
What is the age range?
It's from 12 to 17. We do a workshop on campaign planning where they can see kind of the idea of escalating tactics and starting off with low-lying fruit, making a request. We talk about turning a complaint that you see that you have in the world into a request or a call to action.
What an example of that might be?
You could complain that there is the food in the cafeteria is no good. Maybe you're a vegetarian and there's nothing vegetarian to eat, or food's not healthy or just tastes bad. So you can sit in the cafeteria and complain about that, but that's not going to change the food in the cafeteria. So what there is to do then, if you choose, not because you have to, but because if you say you want to do something about it, you make a request. You figure out, who do I talk to? You figure out what you want to say. What could they say yes to? And you make that request. Maybe they say yes and you're just done, but probably they say no. And then you got to figure out from there. That's one of them. We have them look at where they have influence and to try to understand some of the root causes of the problem and some different solutions that could be proposed. So to understand, for instance, you know, why would your food service director say no if you're asking for different food in the cafeteria? What's important to them? And it might be what they say directly, or maybe they don't even respond to you or whatever. And you have to figure out, well, they probably care about how much it's going to cost, and they don't have the time, and they don't know if anyone's going to eat it, and it's complicated because you have to order it from different distributor, who knows what. And so then you got to figure out, well, how do I address these issues? Or there's some pressure tactics. When you get to that point, they're just clearly not interested, or you're doing everything you can and they're still not doing it. And this is where, you know, we see on larger scale campaigns, you know, there's all kinds of pressure tactics. Like right currently, there's like the Keystone Pipeline. There's all kinds of pressure tactics happening with Obama. That's not the first step. You know, first there were lots of conversations and people handing out flyers and, you know, making phone calls.
I see. So that's what you mean by escalation.
Escalating tactics, yeah. So you don't start with a hunger strike without first making a request, right? So
at the end of such a session, of this particular kind of workshop, what have they learned from that?
Through a couple of workshops that we do that are big picture about how do you impact change, they see that there are some guiding principles or some ways that you can approach this in a strategic way that can help guide their actions and their choices in a certain situation and create sort of a pathway for, oh, okay, I can see now how I could actually do something about something that I care about. Our whole curriculum is based on four areas that we feel are critical to develop as someone who wants to make a difference in the world. So the first area is knowledge. And that's knowledge about problems and knowledge about solutions. The second is skills. So those are skills like we talked about campaign planning, but we do skills training like communication, especially with people who disagree with you. We do skills training like starting a school club, doing fundraising, getting media and using social media to raise awareness or address an issue, using art and creativity to address social change. So the third area is actually confidence and building. Each of these four areas are built on each other. Mm-hmm. So certainly building knowledge and skills builds confidence right. In and of itself. But if deep down you feel like, well, you know, I'm not good at school, so I'm just not really smart enough to be able to make a difference, or, you know, people pick on me, I'm not popular, I can't start a school club, no one's going to listen to me, or my little big brother pick on me because of whatever, you know, those sort of internalized self-doubt beliefs, that can be a non-starter in a lot of cases. So we do a lot to develop confidence. And the fourth area is community, so that people can see that they're not alone, that there's other people who care about similar issues, that there are organizations working on those issues. It might seem obvious that, like, oh, of course there's organizations working on these things, but a lot of times they have no idea.
They come to this camp because they want to change the world. So they come thinking they can do that. So do they have confidence when they come?
Some of our campers are already pretty accomplished and have done some really impressive things, like starting their own nonprofit at age 15 and already helping to pass school policies on all kinds of things. I mean, we have some kids who've done a lot of impressive things, but the majority actually have not really done very much. They know that they want to do something. A lot of them say that they, in their words, that they just don't really have direction. They want it. They recognize there's all kinds of things messed up in their community or at their school or in society, and they just have no idea what to do about it. I think for some of them, they have the experience of being the only one who cares about some of the issues that they care about, and that can be really invalidating and disconcerting to feel like you're completely swimming upstream. A lot of kids who are speaking up or taking action for what they believe in are in the minority, whether it's through their diet, whether it's because they are recycling out of the garbage and put them in the recycle bin, whether it's because they speak up about things that other people don't care about because they're gay. We have a lot of campers who are gay. So that sometimes goes along with taking a position that goes against the majority.
But it also, one pays a price for trying to create change. The idea of feeling that they want to speak up about something, and yet they're paying a price for it, because by doing that, they're accentuating their differentness. Is that right? Is that a way of looking at it?
One thing that we try to do at camp is to make it cool to care, and really shifting the culture of, you know, maybe at their school, it's cool to not care. And that's just not cool at Yay Camp. I think in a lot of cases, people just do whatever's cool. And there's actually a lot of research, social psychology research, that suggests that one of the main factors that influences people's behavior, and particularly behavior change, is if they think that other people are making those changes. It doesn't always have to be a source of friction, because, you know, we're seeing the culture has changed dramatically just with respect, let's just say, for gay rights, just in the last, you know, handful of years. It's sea change. Gay marriage was not even on the radar, you know, a decade or so ago. And now there's a gay straight alliance in almost every school or every high school. So that's huge. We look at the ways that we can bring about other people to our way of thinking and to take the actions that we would want them to take. And frequently, the best way to do that is just by having fun and enjoying yourself and showing, you know, the action that you're taking is something that they would want to do and making it cool. I think also we have a view of activism that's probably different from, certainly different from the way that it's conveyed in the media. We see activism as taking intentional action to bring about change in the world that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And we say that recycling a can is activism. You are taking action intentionally to bring about something in the world that's not for your own personal benefit. That's not the kind of stuff that's on the news as, and considered activism. The kind of stuff that gets on the news is something that could result in arrest, something that frequently looks angry or threatening, which, frankly, with the state of affairs, we should be angry, you know, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention kind of thing. But, you know, obviously the mainstream media is not advocating for us. They exist to sell advertising, and that's what they do. And so they're portraying a worldview that their advertisers would approve of.
So would you say this is a more quiet form of activism or more rational, maybe?
The reason that a lot of people do the type of activism that's on the news is because the media doesn't care if you do other types of activism. You know, there's protests where people will choose whether they want to get arrested or not. And they will choose to get arrested because they know that it's more likely to get media attention. Why else would you choose to get arrested? So we've got this ridiculous news that doesn't... Smaller things like meeting with your food service director to talk about having organic food, or there's styrofoam trays that are served in the school cafeteria. Every single kid gets their lunch served to them on a styrofoam tray every single day. So it's hundreds or thousands of trays. Every single lunch, every kid is getting their lunch served to them on styrofoam, which doesn't break down, have cancer-causing, you know, chemicals in it. And one of our campers is working on that right now. She has a change.org petition that she has created, and she met with the food service director last year, and they agreed to make a partial change so that now it's post-consumer, I don't know, whatever it is. But so that's the kind of thing that if she was successful and got reusable trays, would that make the news? Probably not. It's not going to be, you know, three TV stations showing up at the cafeteria to show the reusable trays. But that's activism. It just doesn't make the news, you know? And all the letters that people might write to Congress, does that make the news that some congressperson received 10,000 comments or petition signatures about some bill, and then they quietly change their mind without any fanfare because they see that their position is unpopular? Does that make the news? No. What makes the news is some car wreck or, you know, some celebrity had a baby or...
Nora Kramer is talking about Yay Camp for Training Young Activists, which she founded 5 years ago. This is Tidings from Hazel Khan on WPKN Radio.
Even if they're not being on the news, the idea is how do you persuade other people to your way of thinking?
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about that? I mean, how people make decisions about what they're going to do, I mean, what their action plan is going to be?
Well, frequently when people are taking actions to make the world better in some way, they're doing it in a kind of autopilot, haphazard manner that frequently is dictated by strong emotions. So that could be arguing with people in their lives about why they're a bad person because they don't agree on something or other, which is probably not the best use of time. We show them a little graph that we make up of that we call the effectiveness analysis, where they plot the difficulty or ease of their actions against the impact of their actions. For example, talking to your Uncle Fred for the 20th time about why he's against gay marriage, first of all, you're probably not going to convince him. You're probably going to threaten your relationship with this family member and cause all kinds of family drama that will cause people to roll their eyes and not even want to sit next to you. But at the end of the day, what difference does it make, really, what Fred thinks about gay marriage? What was the point of that? Meanwhile, you could have spent that 10 hours much more strategically. Maybe you spend that 10 hours, you know, figuring out maybe there's some congressperson, you know, that is going to be voting on something, and I could work on his campaign, or I could work on getting some other guy real, you know, elected, or I could do a fundraiser towards their campaign, or a million things, right? You know, there's so many different things. We actually do a workshop called A Million Ways to Make a Difference, where we have them do just a massive brainstorm about so many different things that they could do. And ultimately, it's about being effective. And so if you're spending all your time arguing with the same person, that's probably not a good use of your time. It's a very difficult thing to do, to convince someone who is completely opposed to your way of thinking to change their mind. And there's an extremely small impact. Oh, because if it comes up to vote, then Fred might vote differently. Spend that time trying to convince a congressperson to vote differently, not your Uncle Fred. So that's something that, again, people may approach in a more haphazard way without actually really bringing some strategy to what they're doing. And for instance, if campers talk about that they want to start a club at their school, the first thing we'll say is, why do you want to start a club? What are you trying to accomplish with the club? They say it because, you know, we have a workshop on school clubs, so they're obviously, we're suggesting that we think it's a good idea to have a school club. But if you just have a school club and you don't have any goals for it, if you don't have any clear actions that you're trying to take, what's the point? I mean, maybe it is around camaraderie, and that's fine if that's your goal and all you want to do is have a little social club where people can see that they're not alone and you're meeting like-minded people, that's fine. Then just state that that's your goal. But if your goal is to help the environment, sitting around just hanging out, making friends who care about the environment, it's probably not actually going to help the environment at all. A lot of campers who've gotten composting at their school or who have changed the whole recycling policy and program at their school.
So is a lot of the action is around their own schools?
Yeah, and that's something that we really push. You know, from a think global, act local perspective, they have a lot more influence in their school than they have probably anywhere else. And that's great training to make your community better, make the world better.
These week-long sessions are probably very intense and everybody leaves on a note of a very high note, jubilant. They're just excited and they're happy when they reach a high point.
Uh-huh.
So how do you keep that going? What are the things you do? Because there's no point in doing all these things about change and then not giving it legs.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really important to us that this is not just some peak experience of like some fantasy world that was made up for a week and then they go home thrown back to the wolves. We talk a lot about how they can bring the experience of the camp into their lives. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot to stay in touch with them. So each camper chooses a staff person to be their mentor after camp. So that's their main point person after camp to support them in following through on their action plan. We have active Facebook groups and email lists. We have a conference call that we do every other week. Basically, the call is for people to share about the types of activism that they've been doing, anything that they're excited about that they want people to know, or anything that they feel like they need help with or they're kind of stuck on. Every Sunday at 8:00 Eastern, and we had a call yesterday and we had, I don't know, 15 or 20 campers call in. You know, in February, maybe it'll be 3 kids will call in. It varies week to week. Each year are getting better at figuring out how to get more people to join in. We promote it mostly to the current campers, but we purposely have campers from other sessions to be able to call in. And we promote that to them as an opportunity that you get to, you already know the people that you know, but there's other campers as amazing as the people in this room who are doing all kinds of awesome things and you can learn from them and they can learn from you. A lot of times we'll have reunions. We really make a case for why we think it's really important for them to keep in touch with us. We let them know that, you know, if we find that after camp, if no one's really doing any activism, might make us think, you know, why are we even doing this? And we tell them that on the first day. I promise them that you're going to have fun this week, but I am very clear. If that's all that happens this week is you have fun, I completely will have wasted my time. You could have had fun playing video games or playing basketball or watching TV. The point this week is for you to go out and make a difference on something that's important to you after camp. So the whole week, we're talking about that. Everything is all about what are you going to do after camp? What are you going to do after camp? What are you going to do after camp? So we ask them every month, the first of the month, to fill out a monthly update form. We talk about why we want them to do that. You know, the main reason is so that we can find out if we can help them, you know, if they're struggling with anything. We also want to brag about them if they're doing something really awesome so that they can learn from each other. In the application, we ask them to commit to spending at least 1 hour a week on activism, whatever that looks like for them. And a lot of them are already doing that. A lot of them are spending more than that already. If they're already in a school club, you're already spending that time.
How many kids altogether have gone through your camps?
A couple hundred.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe around 300. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. Mm-hmm.
So what role do the parents play in all of this? Or what role do you want them to play?
We actually talk to the parents on the day that they pick them up. We give the parents a little bit of like a cliff notes of what we did, the basis of our curriculum. We do a presentation where they can learn a bit about what we did during the week. And we have a lot of the campers will share about what they got out of the week. That's one of the ways that we try to bring the experience that the campers have had at Yay Camp out into the outside world, to have the parents get a sense of what we're doing and to have the campers see that their parents are sharing in that. We talk about how amazing their kids are, and we really just talk them up in a way that it would be hard for them, the parents, to take their kids for granted after that. When we talk about activism as being entrepreneurial, you're not going to get a bad grade, you're not going to get fired if you don't do it. What's going to have you do something is just if you say so. This is wrong in the world. I think that things should be a different way. I'm going to do something about it. So we really push them to get out of their comfort zone. I feel like we do a pretty good job of making people feel comfortable going outside their comfort zone.
But, you know, all of these things, you know, leadership, seminars and brainstorming and skill mm-hmm. building and the idea of applying these techniques to activism, because activism is never really taken seriously as a job. I mean, I don't know how else to call it, a profession. What people don't think of activism in those terms. So somehow what you've done is created a view of activism that, what would you say, given it a new kind of credibility as a way to spend a life or something like that.
Well, unfortunately, activism is not something that's really taught in schools. Yeah. And there are organizations that do activist trainings, but they're few and far between, you know, and they're for people who specifically seek them out. They're not integrated in our school system. So the average teenager going to high school, it's never introduced to them that they actually could make a difference on something. And so our main ways that young people are getting messaging is typically from the media and from schools, maybe from religious institutions, which are certainly not promoting the progressive causes that are important to Yay Camp.
But also the idea of concentrating on youth mm-hmm. means that by the time they are older and by definition, I guess, have more power because they're fully fledged citizens or they can vote or whatever, they'll be already far ahead of the curve because mm-hmm. they'll already have this foundation mm-hmm. of activism. Mm-hmm. So it'll make them more effective when they are older.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And we say you don't have to wait till you're an adult to make change. And there's so many examples of teenagers who've done really inspiring things and made significant changes. We feel like the sooner that you start, the more there is to learn. You know, anytime you fail, there's a learning opportunity there. But you don't really learn much from sitting at home thinking that you wish that you could do something, but you might fail.
Right. What are your hopes now for the next year or two? Do you have a plan to do things differently, to do more things? Are there some particular challenges you personally or you as the leader of the, I know you don't like to call yourself a leader, but you are the leader of this camp, or you're the founder of it anyway.
So we are always looking to have more campers. So that could look like more sessions or bigger sessions. We're going to be making some decisions about next year shortly. We're also looking at ways that we can get our curriculum integrated into some schools. So we've been in conversation with one school to look to pilot our program as an elective. We also had a few campers this year who said that they want to start a Yay Club at their school. They certainly didn't get that idea from us, but we'll give future campers that idea. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to be working closely with those campers to develop their plan for what they're going to do so that hopefully we can formalize this as a curriculum.
What about funding?
Some of our funding is from tuition. We get some grant funding. We have individual donors, but we definitely need more funding in order to grow.
But not all of the campus pay, right?
No, we have a lot on full scholarship or partial scholarship. I'm really proud we've never actually turned anyone away for lack of funds. So for us to be able to continue to do that, we need to have a certain number of campers paying our full price, and we need to have donations and grant and other, you know, other sources of funding.
That's the biggest challenge, is funding. I mean, you're pretty secure with your program itself.
I'm really secure with our program. I think our program is really solid. We've done 13 sessions, and every session, virtually every camper says that this was one of the best experiences of their lives, that this is a life-changing program. They all develop action plans that are really inspiring. And, you know, it's not to say that every single camper follows through on everything they said on any program that's going to have 100% success rate, but I feel really good about our success rate.
Some of them have siblings who might also then become campers, right? I mean, it can be a family thing.
I think we have a different model. We definitely have a different model than most camps that are focused on just retention, and just getting little brothers and sisters. So we definitely ask our campers to reach out and spread the word to other people at their school who are interested. We also reach out to different nonprofits and social justice organizations or community organizations to have them help reach other folks, because we also think there's a lot of like trickle down that happens and ripples that happen from each camper who goes through the program, so that someone totally unconnected to someone who went to our camp would even be someone that we would feel like would have more to gain than a younger sister or brother.
I see.
We're also looking to do a lot more online. We recognize that we're always going to have a limited number of beds each summer and 10 other months of the year that we could be doing things. So we actually have a couple campers who are really excited about taking a leadership role in our Tumblr and in we have a regular WordPress blog and doing a lot more on our Facebook and, you know, using Instagram. We really want to make it cool to care, and we want all of our campers to have support in getting their message out to the people that they know through their social networks or their people in their lives. Mm-hmm. So I think we've really mastered our 1 week summer camps. So what there is to do is to have more of them and to bring what we're doing into other avenues that make sense for what we do and to master those. You know, ultimately, we're not in this because we think, oh, it's fun to have a camp. We're in this because we really want to make a big difference in the world. And
you're activists.
Totally. This is a form of activism for me. So I am all about the effectiveness analysis, and I feel like for us to really have the bang for our buck that we want to scale this to reach a lot more people.
So if people do want to know more, where do they go and look?
Our website is yeacamp.org, and there's all kinds of information more about the program, about the dates for our upcoming camps. There's information about some of the things our campers have done. There's a link to our blog and our Facebook for more day-to-day updates. There's a button for people to donate. We also have actually camper scholarship pages. We ask every camper who's on scholarship to create a page to make a case for why people should contribute to their scholarship.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nora Kramer has been updating us on Yay Camp as it completes its fifth program year. Since our interview, Yay Camp has announced that the Green Valley Ranch High School in Denver has introduced the camps program as a three-month-long in-school elective course. You can hear Tidings from Hazel Kahn on the third Wednesday of the month at 7:30 p.m. on WPKN 89.5 FM Bridgeport, live streaming on WPKN.org, and archived at hazelkahn.com. Tidings is produced by Tony Ernst.